So when I started, I started on a steel string and with a pick. When I would try to do finger picking, like I was like, oh, okay, there's six strings and five fingers. I'm like, okay, well, I want to do chords that I can use as many. So for me, the A or E or C were I liked them some of the most, or G, because it could use all the fingers. So then at some point I decided, A, I was going to always use all five fingers for finger picking, and that I was going to just focus on that. So now it's a challenge for me to actually use a pick. Then the next stage, what I found was that when I wanted, I didn't play a lot of lead or anything like that in my early time. What I ended up doing was, and you'll be a really good person to hear this perspective, was I said, okay, let's practice. If this finger's hitting a note, the high E, well then the opposite finger, same finger, is going to hit the high E. So it would be basically, and so as much as possible, it doesn't always, like it can't always be the same finger. But that was a way for me to kind of have both hands communicating to each other, mm-hmm. while learning to play and strengthening the fingers a little bit more for lead. Have you ever heard that? Like anyone doing that?
Yeah, no, I think anyway, get your hands to talk to each other for sure. And there's all sorts of like cool like little finger exercises too to just like build up independence to mm-hmm. the fingers too, because you want them to work as a team, but mm-hmm. also they need to be, you know, able to do different things on their own too.
Yeah.
So I never like my finger picking isn't like super awesome or anything like that too. So I don't know any like real like awesome finger picking techniques. But I know with that you're practicing lead too. I know a thing that a lot of my shredder buddies were all about too. It's like these spider exercises.
Spider exercises.
Yeah. So it's like there's all these like.
Yeah.
Like it's just and like trying to get like an idea. I picked up the cello a few years ago too, and they have a lot of exercises like that too, just to try to like just have like lots of like again.
So walking along, like walking the fretboard a lot.
Exactly. So that like any type of combination of notes that you could like encounter in an actual song or an improv, like your finger has like the flexibility and like muscle memory to be able to like, get into those different shapes.
Yeah, and it's sort of like a strength and a weakness. Like it's like, oh, I'm going in this direction, but then I'm missing out on all of this other stuff. Because, for example, the finger picking and this kind of guitar lends itself to gypsy swing.
Yeah.
But because I don't use a pick, and because I don't use the finger picking techniques that a lot of them trained with, there's certain things I can't do very well. But other things I think I do pretty well with. So, yeah, it's kind of getting comfortable with letting things go that I still like, but I'm not necessarily getting better at myself.
Yeah, well, it's a fine balance of learning anything, too, because it's about running experiments, but not getting too entrenched in those experiments, too, because we've all had plateaus that we have as musicians, right? So it's easy to get into one of those habits that, like, this is how I play now. And, there's a degree of comfort with that because you can get, you know, you start flying around using that technique, whatever that be. But I found myself getting, like, stuck in those techniques as well, too, because, like, you're not trying anything new.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a challenge in the mental part of it.
Yeah. So you want to try anything else new? Something else that you want to work on, like pushing ourselves to do something kind of strange and weird?
Well, because we haven't really warmed up so much, I think we should just do some random warm-up stuff.
Yeah.
Like just crazy, just play whatever, no care for key or even groove or time, and just see what comes.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to, like, yes and into that. So I like the idea of being really open, but let's start with, like, like the boundaries of our sandbox, so we know that like what we're playing within here too. Going back to groove being king, how about we just establish and we don't need to play notes, like a tempo and sort of like a sort of a groove, and then we'll start working out what the pieces are within that.
So let's do a slow tempo so that I can feel
slow.
Like I'm hitting all the right hitting the notes properly.
Yeah, for sure. So and I like things in like in three, so like thank you.
Chocolate?
All right, yeah. Some chocolate.
Gosh, that is like playing like that with you, like with someone who's proficient, open, accepting, and yeah, not afraid to make mistakes and or be brilliant.
Those two things go hand in hand. You don't have brilliance without mistakes.
So true. So true. That's very true. Yeah, it's like having a great bath. You know, it's that feeling of just like, oh, it's like, it's kind of like great sex.
Awesome. Thanks for the compliment.
you're awesome in guitar.
Oh, I appreciate that.
As, however you are in bed, I don't know.
Well, oh, fair enough. Fair enough. That's
I'll
fun.
Ask your wife.
Yes, yes. Rave reviews.
Nice. So what did you like about that, or what?
I've always liked like modal jams like that. So it's like in one mode. It's like, so this is mostly like just a lot of open core, open strings, lots of E. So like in like, I liked our decision to start with like groove too, because you know you can have a very simple like groove. It was just like, you know, a little straightforward rhythm thing that like were agnostic. That was agnostic to the actual notes, and then it was a neat way to like sort of explore that rhythm. And I think like where it was at its best is like when we started picking up on like on nuances, because I think within the messiness of a jam like that, it's important to start exploring like, okay, where's like the hook, because like there's a really nice moment in there where we had like this sort of like we kind of came to it sort of naturally, and I think we both picked up on that and then sort of like repeated that too. And I think that comes like really good improv, whether it, you know, be musical or dramatic, is that, you know, it gives you a lot of time to like make mistakes and explore, but once you hit on something, then like, oh, that really clicks. The ability to sort of like seize that and then like repeat it too. I believe it was Sun Tzu who said opportunities are they multiply as they are seized.
That's a good one. Say that again.
Opportunities multiply as they are seized.
Opportunities multiply as they are seized. The Sun Tzu?
I believe that. Oh, that was Sun Tzu. Which I think so, like, the idea that like within improv, like there's like an element of luck.
Yeah.
But like really good improvisers, they make their own luck by like when you have a lucky coincidence, you're like, oh, that works. There's like, I'm going to file that and then I'm going to play it again. Or another way that I would tell my students a lot too is like anytime they made a mistake, I'm like, you know what really good jazz musicians do? They just make that same mistake a few more times and then it becomes a motif.
Yeah, I like that. That is so true.
Yeah.
When there's and I see it with dancing, when I'm dancing and I almost fall, but then I go with it and give myself to it, then boom, all of a sudden it turns into a wild spin or something that I didn't expect. And so it's the confidence in the mistake. If I maintain a confidence, a state of mind of like, it's okay, the thing that seems like a mistake really does take me down another road.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because for me, it's all self-taught. Feeling like crap, of making mistakes and feeling awful, but continuing to play music or do whatever or sing, and wanting the freedom, wanting the freedom. So then, okay, I got to stick with it. And then all of a sudden, all these pointers started to say, oh, here's how to get there. So how did you find that, like the principles?
Well, I had a really great a guitar teacher in high school. But I tried and failed at a number of different musical ventures before that. Like, I tried taking piano when I was a kid because my dad was quite an accomplished pianist, and but never really spoke to me because it's so rule-based.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great teacher who's just like your typical sort of hippie, was in lots of bands in the 70s, and then he's like, this is what I do for a living now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found so liberating when he showed me the pentatonic scale, you know, five notes.
Yep.
It was just such a night, like, it was my first lesson. He's like, here's the scale, we're just going to play it. And it was like this lovely and very different approach than all the other music lessons I had before, which is like, learn the dots on the page,
right,
and then you'll get to something that you like. And he flipped it. He's like, here's this simple scale.
Here's the thing you will like.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, go in and play around with it. And like, and then just lots of positive reinforcement from him. So even though I was sounding terrible at first, just
yeah,
like lots of really good feedback.
That's so key. Positive reinforcement. Everyone, parents.
Oh, for sure.
Parents, siblings especially too, positive reinforcement.
Yes.
For whoever's trying. I didn't have a lot of that.
No, that's too
up.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's so important for something as vulnerable as improv.